This is Scott. This is Saving Throw on the scene at Fan Expo 2012. And we are with Philippe-Antoine Ménard, who you might know better as Chatty, the Chatty DM. And we're going to talk about his game design adventures. Maybe elaborate on what you do a little.
Well, I'm mostly a freelance writer. Lately, in the last year, I've moved more from adventure writing to game design by being hired in the team, in the Margaret Weiss production team, to co-design the Marvel Heroics role-playing system and working on, I think, a lot of the supplements that came out ever since.
Yes, and if you don't recall, Marvel has a ridiculously aggressive supplement schedule this year.
No idea.
Yeah. What, 16 books in 13 months?
We were supposed to come out with 13 books in 12 months or something like that. It's basically three major events: Civil War, Annihilation, and Age of Apocalypse, each of which have three supplements with new character sheets and new scenes that are added to the core events. So the big books are like campaign settings on top of the basic book, which has its own mini event, and 20 or so data files for player characters.
Yes, and I guess there's a bit of a hurdle for me, at least, in Marvel Heroic, in that it encourages you to play the major characters of the setting, going through the canon events, and how do you present that to a group of gamers in such a way that makes it feel open and that you aren't a slave to continuity?
We were certain that there would be barriers to entry. The actual imposition of player character, which is actually a soft imposition.
Yeah.
Marvel it's Marvel's thing. Marvel has been told us when they gave the license to Margaret Weiss Production, they said, look guys, we've got 8,000 characters, we want players to relive adventures with the characters we already have instead of having them create characters. But we knew we couldn't put out a RPG that would be viable without a character design section. So what we did is we hid it. We actually hid character design rules in the character, in the chapter that's called data sheet, understanding data sheets, and we start with explaining how data sheets are constructed, how you can modify those that exist as if you were a new editor or a new writer on a comic book, and then how you can create your own characters without actually going and spelling it out that it's a character generation system. It's not point based, it's not random charts, it's basically using your own the flavor of your character to build it. So in that particular aspect, it is possible to make characters, but don't expect someone that's immature to make, you'll make those characters, you'll make Thor-like characters all the time.
Yeah.
The second incentive is rewrite each and every event in such a way that you can reinvent and bring the story in a completely different area than what the canon did. For example, in the Civil War event, Captain America and Iron Man are not necessarily on opposed sides.
Yeah.
You get to decide which characters are on each side, and you can even explore in certain key scenes if your character decides to move in from one side to the other, or basically be a spy in another, or be a sleeper agent for Hydra, or all kinds of different things that you can explore, making, especially Civil War, since it's so massive and non-linear, something that you can play for years if you want.
Okay, and you kicked off this thing with Civil War. Was that intentional based on the fact that Civil War is so big and so divisive within the fandom, or was it just recent and the new shiny?
It's not that recent, because it dates back to 2007. Compared to Age of Apocalypse.
Yes. Compared to the other two, at least.
Yes. Actually, Annihilation is more or less concurrent. It's from 2006 to 2010.
Yeah.
The whole series that we're covering. It was a big challenge. We knew that a lot of people disliked it. I personally disliked reading Civil War because I don't like the way it ends.
Yeah.
But that actually was, among all the freelancers and the designers, that was a key challenge to say, we're not going to send this event in that particular direction. We want to show how Marvel, the game, can break out of that particular model. And we're very proud of how it turned out.
Okay, so what in particular did you contribute to Civil War?
My most obvious contributions, I wrote all the optional rules at the beginning of the book about playing, being troop play, about hero-on-hero combat, I gave extra advice on how to use scene distinctions to bring out the action instead of just having heroes slugging it out against each other, while using the distinction to create burning buses or falling bridges and stuff that will make the characters care about something other than villains, and have to act on those particular aspects other than villains in a given scene, as you see in comic books. I also helped write a lot of the scenes. I was a developer, so whenever a freelance writer gave us a scene that needed a little oomph in terms of rules or needed to be tweaked, I tweaked a lot of the rules. For example, I did a lot of work on the unmasking scene, where supposedly Spider-Man unmasks in yes. front of everyone. Well, I rewrote this scene in such a way that I helped the watcher says, okay, so who's the big... Now you have to choose who's the leader of the pro... the pro registration size, and who's going to be your character that wants to unmask? Is it an NPC or a PC? If so, and then I created this old tree to help watchers create a scene that will be remembered.
Okay, awesome. And what was just the most exciting thing about getting to play with all these Marvel characters?
The most exciting thing for me was going back. I used to be a huge Marvel fan in the 1980s. I bought the original role-playing game, The Yellow Box, in 1984 or 5 when it came out. And I read a lot of X-Men. I was a huge X-Men fan when I was 15 or so. It was rediscovering all of those. And then having to catch up through 20 years of comic book. I didn't read all of them. I just hit the major ones. And then being able to... What's really awesome is being able then to create a system that allow you to play with them. And my own campaign's been with homemade characters ever since, and it feels like the original Yellow Box game in which we rolled characters and made stupid adventures with villains that have stupid names and ridiculous powers. And my last combat scene was an angel fighting a fae with a sword made out of beer, and it worked.
And you heard that here. Beer swords and angel on fae violence. Yeah. Marvel heroic role-playing is the place to go. It can do more than just Exalted, which is what everyone says when a new Marvel heroic role-playing game comes out, is this would do Exalted!
It actually could. We've been involved, the different freelancers working on it have been involved since Leverage came out.
Right.
And Leverage and Marvel superheroes are linked thematically through the Cortex system, but it's been added on to handle superheroes. But ever since we've been working on that game, we more or less look at each other as this would do science fiction perfectly. This, especially since we've done Annihilation and Galactus level events, it can do horror, it can do mecha, it can do really well. And a lot of my friends have made acts of it to play various era. Our favorite one right now, Dave the Game from CriticalHits.com, acted to do a D&D 4E.
Yeah.
In which you basically roll randomly powers, classes, and races, and you put all these together, and you have an instant D&D character that plays like Cortex.
Yeah, and so I'm just excited to see you so excited about working on this.
That's awesome.
It is awesome. And other than Marvel, what do you have you and Cortex stuff? What have you got going on? Anything?
Well, right now, not really. I'm focusing on Marvel, and I'm focusing on my own, whatever feeds the kids job. In the last year, I've published three articles in Dungeon and Dragon magazine. I've published an article about the Forgotten Realms Alistair Disciple named Trobriand. He was known as the Metal Mage and made all kinds of metal creatures. So I designed a lot of metal creatures like skeletons scorpions and spiders and even a metal beholder creature, which was co-designed with Chris Perkins, which was awesome. And I created the rules for Zero Level Adventures, and I wrote one adventure for that. So Zero Level Heroes and one adventure for that. Trying to capture what 4E is at the core of it before you add levels to it. And it worked really well. I got great feedback from it, and I ran it in a few conventions, and it was really a lot of fun.
All right, and what's the future like for Chatty and his many escapades? What can you say?
I'm going to work more on Marvel. I hope that we got three Ennies for Marvel last week at Gen Con. I hope that from there on I'll be able to work on other projects, maybe possibly D&D Next. I've been thinking about doing my own thing for some time now. I think the timing is perfect.
Yeah.
Too. My brand is built. People know me. I've known me for 5 years as the Chatty DM, as a blogger. I'd like to be able to be to go out there and design and produce stuff under my own name.
Okay.
That sounds fun. And if people on the internet want to start stalking you now, where would they do that? Blogs, Twitter feeds?
Well, the best place to see me is to read my blog is at chattydm.net, which redirects you to the Critical Hits blog, which I've merged with a few years ago. And you can also find me on Twitter as chattydm, which is where I bombard the waves with all kinds of things that I think about, and hints and tips and jokes and stupidities in both of Canada's official languages.
Yes, that's right. Now it's not just the main show that has a monopoly on the French-Canadian accent. I've got one, too. But thanks a lot for just sitting down and having a chat. I'll let you enjoy the rest of your con, and good luck with all your stuff.
Thanks very much, Scott. It was a pleasure.